Assalamu alaikum and peace, and welcome to this episode of Misconceptions. I'm your host, Muhammad Hashim, and with us in the studio today we have Sheikh Yusuf Esters. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alhamdulillah, how are you? And also in the studio we have our audience. Assalamu alaikum, audience.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Inshallah, today we'll be touching upon beliefs, what beliefs mean, and worship for Muslims. What's it all about? What do we actually worship? And what are the misconceptions behind beliefs and worships?
Well, there are many of them out there, Muhammad. And certainly, as you well know, any of us Muslims in the world today realize when we speak with non-Muslims, we hear a wide variety of things that people say. But also amongst the Muslims themselves, we have some rather strange things being offered as though we believed in it. And up to you where you want to start. Most likely, I guess we should start with what the non-Muslims think.
The non-Muslims think, yeah. Let's see if the audience have anything to say about that.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
I have a question, Sheikh.
Yes, brother, go ahead.
Some people say you worship Muhammad.
Ooh, they do,
yeah,
don't they?
Yeah.
You've heard that before, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a comment.
So my question, how do I answer?
Okay, that's even better.
Yeah.
I guess the thing to do on this one is to look at the text itself. Just like we say in everything, when people come to us and say things that we know are bizarre, totally bizarre, still we have to be calm, cool, collected, we have to be friendly, and we have to show the Muslim way. So what we would do is say, as we always do, thank you for asking me about my religion. In Islam, we must tell the truth. Because if we lie, we can go to hell. Plus, you could always refer to the sources, the Quran and the Sunnah, which is preserved in Arabic language. You can look in it and see for yourself what we really believe and what we do, because it's right there. But along the way, when we're given the answer, if you find something you like better than what you have, then the question will be, are you going to be ready to move what's better for you? Or what will you do? So, to begin with this question, when people say, you guys worship Muhammad, one of the things they have for an evidence is that throughout history, Muslims have been called Muhammadans. So if they look, for instance, to an encyclopedia or to a dictionary, which has been written by the non-Muslims, then they would say, well, it says Muhammadans right there, so obviously you must be worshiping Muhammad. Yeah, because Christians are called Christians because they worship Christ. This will be their logic. What they don't know, and I want to talk about this just for a minute, Christians actually were never called Christians by other Christians. In other words, people who really followed Jesus didn't call themselves Christians.
They didn't.
No. It says in the Bible they were never called Christians until long after Jesus was gone. This is mentioned in the books after the Gospels. It says that Paul is telling us they were never called Christians until Antioch. And that's when they went into Antioch to do their preaching. Those people thought they worshipped Jesus and called them Christians.
Worship of Christ, Christians.
Yeah. Yeah? Yeah? Make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, not only that, who did they worship? And this is very interesting because according to the Bible in Matthew, we find that in chapter 5, that Jesus is telling them he didn't come to change any laws and he didn't come to destroy the teachings of the prophets. That's in Matthew 5:17. And if that's the case, we go back to the first law, thou shalt not have any other God beside God. So the worship for them has to be God. And we find in the book of Mark, it says in 12:29, that the greatest commandment is to know, O Israel, the Lord your God is one Lord, and you have to worship him with all your heart, all your mind, and all your strength. Okay, well, we got that down. Now, who did they worship? And we find in the book of Acts, when we go to chapter 9, it's very clear that they were not called Christians. They were called Ahl-Din.
Ahl-Din.
The people of the way. And it capitalizes the word way. It puts a capital W there. And it says they were Ahl-Din, people of the way. That's exactly what we say too. We are Ahl-Din, people of the way, following the way of Muhammad. But not worshiping Muhammad, but following the way of Muhammad. And who did Muhammad worship?
Allah.
Almighty God. Who did Jesus worship? Almighty God. Who did Abraham and David and Suleiman worship? Who did they pray to? So this is the question. To whom did they pray? And if you say, well, they prayed to God, then to who do you pray? Because we sure don't pray to Muhammad. And it forbids us in the Quran to pray to Muhammad. Even to the extent that when Muhammad, peace be upon him, died, some people were saying, no, he's not dead, he'll be coming back. And but then one of the followers, a close follower, named Abu Bakr, he actually went to them and said, guys, look. Look what Allah said in the Quran. Whoever is worshipping Muhammad, you have to know Muhammad is dead. He's gone. He's not here anymore. But whoever is worshipping Allah, know that Allah never dies. So for sure, we make a distinction. We follow Muhammad, we say peace be upon him many times in our speeches, and we pray for him. We do not pray to him. Nor do we believe that Muhammad is going to cure anything for us. He had the keys, if you will, to the way. And we believe in him 100% as a messenger. But he even told us, don't call me more than what I am. I am a slave to Allah, and I'm a messenger to you. That's how he said it. Now, what's the word in Arabic for this? A slave is an abdi. Abdi. I have to put that in there. Yeah. Yeah. Abdi. Because we make ibadah to Allah. Our ibadah is only for Allah. That's our worship. Make sense?
Yeah.
So how we answer them? The Quran teaches us not to worship Muhammad. Muhammad told us, don't worship me. But we worship the God that he worshiped. We pray to the Lord that they pray to. That's it.
What about asking for assistance? Can Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, be an
if he's alive in front of you, certainly. Mm. But if he's not alive in front of you, how are you asking him? Mm. And why would you ask him when he told you not to do that?
Exactly.
When he's telling you how to make your own salah. How can I make my own salah? My own connection is through salah. And that's I don't want to call it prayer, by the way. Mm. It's salah. It's my way to connect in sincerity to Almighty God. Make sense?
Makes a lot of sense.
So this is one of the ways that you can deal with answers to these questions, to let them know, no, we don't worship Muhammad. We love him. We say, peace be upon him. But who we worship is the God that he worshipped. Who we pray to is the Lord that he prayed to. Let's see if we have any other questions. Yes?
Yes, I have a question, Sheikh. Some people say, why do you pray to the moon God? How do we answer?
The moon God?
Yeah.
Well, that's a good question. You see, someone wrote a book. The name of it is called Moon God Called Allah. He's a PhD, and he made a lot of money selling the book, going around giving lectures at universities. But what he did was to take some fact and mixed it with fiction. What he did, he told about the moon god that Arabs used to worship before Islam came. But there were many gods they used to worship. The moon, the sun, the stars, each other. They worshipped statues, rocks, sticks, stones, bones. It didn't matter. They worshipped anything that would move or didn't move, you know. So what he did, he focused on this and tried to make it look like that we're worshipping a moon god. Even to the extent that he took that the Hilal, which is the crescent moon we see on top of the mosques today. You see that. You see it everywhere. This is nothing to do with Islam. This is a symbol of the Ottoman Empire. They used that, and that was only the last few hundred years of Islam that they had that big symbol of a crescent moon up there. And it symbolized the Ottoman Empire. Never had any connection with Muhammad, peace be upon him, or the Quran, or Allah, or anything to do with Islam. It was just to signify, if you see that, okay, you know that this is under the control of the Ottomans, the Turks. That's where it came from. Mm-hmm. So he elaborates, though, and he goes on, and by mixing fact and fiction together, he comes up with this book, trying to prove this and that. Now, we have it on a website called GodAllah.com. You can go and look for yourself, read the whole story, refuting this crazy idea. But it's also clear in the Quran itself. If we look in chapter 41 of the Quran, we see clearly that Allah tells us, for the believers, you cannot worship the moon. It says it. And also, we find that when they ask him about the moon, they're asking Prophet Muhammad about the moon, the new moon in particular, the crescent moon, Hilal. This is in the verse, chapter 2, verse 189. Here it says, Yasalunika. They're asking you about the Hilal, the new moon. Tell them that this is so you can do what? Not worship it, but so you can plot the months, for instance, Hajj, because you're going to go for your Hajj or pilgrimage, you have to know when is this coming up. Also, we gauge Ramadan, the month of fasting, off of the new moon.
So but as a guide, not to worship.
A guide, not a god. I like that. A guide, not a god. That makes a lot of sense. Any other questions come up?
I have a question.
Yes, brother. What would be your question?
Some people asked, why do Muslims kiss a black rock?
Kiss a black rock. Oh, Hajar Aswad. This one is also a misnomer where people know that we kiss it, so they think we're worshiping it. Yeah. Now, this rock is a rock which is, or stone actually, attached or fixed to the side of the Kaaba in Mecca, and it has a silver shield around it. Legend has it that this came down from paradise like a piece of crystal at the time of Adam and Eve when they came out of paradise. This legend says that it came with them and it was clear, clear as glass. But because of the sins of the people, it became darker and darker and darker till it became so black. Well, what's the truth behind it? I can't guarantee that, but that's the legend that goes with it. But what we do know, it was already there on the side of the Kaaba, even at the time of Muhammad, peace be upon him, because there's a story about he helped them to put it back up there when they were doing some reconstruction one time. So now, why do we kiss it? Because Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, kissed it. It was Omar, I believe, who was going around the Kaaba one time, and he leaned over and he kissed it. And he said, he's talking to the rock, he said, I know you cannot help me, can't benefit me, nor can you hurt me? You can't, one way or the other. And if I didn't see Muhammad kiss you, I wouldn't kiss you either. But because we're so close to trying to follow everything he did in worship, that we would actually kiss that same stone. But by the way, if you don't kiss it, there's no sin on you and it doesn't count one way or the other.
That's just following tradition more than worship, I guess.
There may be reward in following Muhammad, but as far as getting your lips dirty, I don't know about that. So if you kiss it, fine and good. If you don't, fine and good. It doesn't cancel your worship one way or the other. Yeah. The idea is that we're just trying to do things that Muhammad did. If we knew where he walked, we'd like to walk there. Stuff like that. Yeah. So that's as far as we would go with something like that. We certainly are not believing this rock is going to benefit us. We don't worship the moon, and we don't worship Muhammad. Our worship is only for Allah alone, without any partners. That's it.
Okay, then we're going to have to go to a short break. Inshallah, we'll continue our misconceptions about beliefs and what Muslims actually worship, inshallah, after the break. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum and welcome back to our show on misconceptions. Inshallah, Yusuf Estes, today we're talking about beliefs and what we actually worship as Muslims and what we don't worship and what actually worship means. So, can we keep going with the notion of worship?
Yes, I really like taking the questions from our brothers in the audience because it shows us the difficulties that they're facing and helps us to know how to deal with these. If we can,
we should go straight
to the brothers, inshallah. Who has the next question? Do you? Okay,
yes,
go ahead.
I want to ask Shay. About a lot of people I heard from them in connection to the question before, they ask, what about your black box in the desert? What is it with it?
The black box in the desert. The Kaaba itself.
Yes.
Kaaba. Yeah.
They mention it as a black box.
Yeah.
So how would we answer it?
That's a very good question. First of all, let's talk about what is the Kaaba. The Kaaba is the cube that we know of that's there in the desert, in Mecca, which is now a part of the sanctuary called the Haram. Where did it come from and what does it signify? Okay, I want to tell you what happened. On this particular one, I'll just slow down enough to let you see what really happened. After one of my speeches in Canada, a young man came to me And I was still folding up our computer and everything, putting all the camera away, everything. He said, can I ask you, why do you guys worship that black box in the desert? I said, whoa, stop. And I told all the Muslims, come back and sit down. And they did. They sat down and I said, I'm going to demonstrate how this works. Sir, will you please just sit down for a minute? He said, sure. And he sat there and I asked him these questions. Clearly, if you find an answer in this that you like better than what you have, are you ready to consider moving toward Islam? He said, yeah, go ahead. I said, all right. First of all, in Islam, we can't lie. If I do, I can go to hell. Second of all, as you've already heard in my speech earlier, we have the Quran and the Sunnah preserved in the Arabic language. He said, yeah, I know. I just wondered about this black box. I said, okay, let's come to that. And when I started to explain, his mouth would drop. He said, really? Because what we have, there's legend, then there's hadith, and we have Quran. The legend goes way back to the time of the Jewish time. Amongst their what's called stories from them, they say, or have said in the past, that this is the place in Baqa. Baqa is mentioned in the Bible. It's now called Mecca. Well, they say that this is actually where Adam came and prostrated with his head on the ground to ask Allah to forgive him for eating the fruit. Now later, Abraham, peace be upon him, and his son built this Kaaba on the foundation that was already there. And then those people that were his generations began to worship Allah and follow these rituals that he established. All Muhammad did, peace be upon him, was return back to his great-great-great-grandfather Ishmael's worship, which was pure and clean. This is the worship of the God of Abraham, the worship of the God of Ishmael and Isaac and Jacob and all the tribes. So this is how they understood it.
Abraham built the house in commemoration of worship of one God. So when people say...
We call it the house of Allah, but Allah is not in the house. That's another good point to mention too.
Very good point.
Yeah, we worship the God that created the universe. And we don't think he's in it. But this was symbolic. Everything was symbolic for Abraham. And the rituals that go with it are also symbolic. There are many. But to come back to the focus of the subject, when I mentioned to him that all that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, did was to clarify for the descendants of Ishmael, look, guys, you've added stuff that doesn't belong. Let's throw it out. And they physically threw out and destroyed every single false god. Whether it was a sun god, a moon god, a star god, a human god of any kind, they broke them all and completely removed every single one of the 360 gods that were there. And then it was all worship only for Allah. And there's still to this day nothing in there anywhere that somebody could worship. And that inside of it is empty. There are pillars in there. There's some hanging on the wall, which is some Arabic. But as far as anything to worship, there's nothing in there to worship.
That's very important, Shaykh, because a lot of Muslims that I've heard...
By the way, I've seen in it. I know that.
Think that there's something in there. Someone even buried in there.
Nothing. There's nothing. No one buried in it, on it, around it. And there is nothing there to worship. The God that we worship is not in the creation. We said that so many, many times, again and again, that we don't worship a God in the creation or anything of the creation as Allah. Now, guess what happened at the end of my talk? The man stood up and he said, I'm ready to accept Islam. He accepted Islam then and there on that spot in front of all those people. A few years later, when I returned back to Canada, a gentleman came up to me after the Jummah khutbah, along with others, wearing a nice long white robe, you know, and he had a turban on his head and had a big beard. And he said, do you remember me? And I said, no, brother, what country are you from? He started laughing. He said, I'm from here in Canada. You're the one who gave me the Shahada, the Declaration of Faith. I said, what? He said, I'm the one who asked you about the black box in the desert. So I know it works. I've said it many times, and I'm telling you, that was the one that worked on. Do you have any other questions?
Yes.
Yes.
I faced some people, and they said to me, Muslims worship dirt because they kiss the ground 5 times a day.
That we worship dirt because we kiss the ground. Ah!
Yes.
They're talking about the salah.
I've heard that. Why are you kissing the floor? Why are you bowing down? What's so special about the ground? Why are you worshipping the ground?
Yeah. Believe it or not, brother, I'll tell you what happened. Yeah. I heard this too when I came in Islam. And immediately I said, Muslims do not kiss the ground. We are worshipping God. We're just putting our head on the ground. I said that. And I went to the masjid. There was a convert Muslim there, new to Islam. And I watched him kissing the ground. I saw him doing it. In his prayer, he would put his head on the ground and go, on the ground. Each time he put his head down, he kissed the ground. When he got done, I said, are we supposed to kiss the ground? He said, why not? It's there. And I said, I heard we're not supposed to do that. And we asked the imam, and of course he said, no, of course we don't kiss the ground. And the brother said, well, I like it. I'm going to keep doing it. So, I mean, you know, if you say Muslims don't do it, I know the one that did. But no, it's not taught to us as part of our worship. It's considered an innovation if somebody does it, and it's not really acceptable. It is not good to do anything in our worship other than what was prescribed by the Quran or by the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Because if they invent anything, then it cancels their worship, because it means you don't think Allah gave you the right religion, or you don't think that Muhammad fulfilled his trust to give us the religion. Make sense?
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, this is great. I wish we had hours for this. Anybody else have a question?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, brother. Can you tell us what your question is?
Muslim women worship their husbands.
What?
Muslim women worship their husbands.
I can vouch for that. I've heard that many times. The obedience to the husband is translated as worship the husband.
Can be. Ha, 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 ha. I know where they got it from. I know where they got this idea from. This is in the Quran, chapter 4, verse 34. It's talking about that a man cares for the woman because Allah gave him authority to do what? To make money and pay for her upkeep. And for this, the woman is devoutly obedient. But it means to Allah. And she protects in her husband's absence what should be protected, meaning her chastity and the property. It has nothing to do with worshiping the husband. It's worshiping Allah because he made the man able to care for her. That's it. Simple as that.
And by worshiping Allah is obedience to the husband, pretty much.
No, the obedience is only to Allah. This is throughout the Quran. Don't ever mistake this. Even your parents have the biggest right, even more than your spouse have. But you can't worship them. It's in chapter 31, verses 12. Start right there and read. And it says that Luqman, a very religious man, is telling his son that you obey your parents in everything except if they want you to worship other than Almighty God.
JazakAllah khair again, Sheikh. Okay, we've run out of time again. Thank you very much for watching Misconceptions. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ask me who my prophet is. I will say, haven't you heard? His name is Muhammad, a mercy to the worlds, a mercy to the worlds. If you ask me who my enemy is, I will say, don't you know? If you ask me who my enemy is, he's that same old devil, that same old devil.